Welcome to Super Movie Brothers. Let's start the show.
Welcome to Super Movie Brothers. I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Dave. And I am not joined by Jay because we're practicing safe social distancing.
We sure are.
Yeah. It's actually kind of like Christmas for me where I don't have to put up with Jay or I don't have to edit him at all either. So
yeah,
happy me. Happy me. But me and Lauren have currently been sequestered for about 2 weeks now here. And yep. Just like everybody else, we're trying to find new ways to keep ourselves entertained. So this week, obviously, we haven't been able to get out to the theaters because there are no theaters. All their employees are currently furloughed and laid off. So they are doing the Bring the Theater into Your Home where we can watch some movies. We watched one that came out a couple weeks ago, Guns Akibo. We're going to be doing a review for that at the end of the show. But that's pretty much how we're going to be doing reviews. We're going to pick up some of these films that are coming directly to video on demand, and we're going to be doing reviews for them. So these aren't a lot of these aren't like the big tentpole blockbusters that we would like to go see.
Right.
All of those are delayed. They're not coming out. You're not going to get those on your home streaming service. Although there is a rumor that maybe Black Widow might come directly to Disney Plus. I highly doubt that.
Oh, I doubt that.
That's like a $200 million
movie. They're going to want to make their money back on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So just most of those tentpole blockbusters are going to be delayed. Most of them hitting deep into the summer at this point. So it's going to be a fun fall if everything is lifted. There's going to be a ton of movies that are going to be coming out late in the year. But like everyone else, we have to find new ways to keep ourselves entertained when there's not a whole lot to watch. So you and I have been getting into some board games.
We have.
A little bit.
Yes.
I got my ass absolutely reamed and handed to me in Monopoly.
And I like that door and hour game in Monopoly.
Spider-Man Monopoly, by the
way.
Yes. Call me Spider-Man! Okay, Spider-Man! Don't flip!
But I like door and hour game. You are like telling the strategies and what you were going to do because this is how you're going to win. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, nope.
I overextended.
I know how to do it.
I bought too many properties too quickly. And
well, you brought those tiny little cheap properties.
I did, yeah.
You got to go around the board first and then worry about those cheap little crappy.
Right, but you didn't do that. You started buying up properties the second you were landing on them. So I was like, oh.
But I was buying the mid-level properties.
Exactly. You took all those up.
Yep.
And all I was left with was Park Place and Boardwalk, which is expensive as fuck to put fucking hotels on, or vaults or webs, as they call it in Spider-Man Monopoly. And then I had the first two sets. The first two parts were like Marvin Gardens or some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. The shitty ones, I became a slumlord, is essentially what happened. And I just overextended.
And then just failed completely.
And then eventually, like, there was a point in the game where I could have limped on for like 2 hours with like a couple hundred bucks.
Right.
But what are we going to do? Stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning while I sit there treading water and hoping that maybe.
Mortgaging all your properties.
Mortgaging all my properties. I said, fuck it.
And especially when I own the entire one side of the board
for
the most
board.
Part. Yeah. And then just an edge of the other side of the board. But then once you go around, that's all my properties. And I started putting the hotels and I'm like, boop. Right there. That's how I got you.
But there will be a rematch. I mean,
I'm sure there will be.
I mean, we don't have, neither of us have work tomorrow. So.
Right.
Expect a rematch tonight.
Okay.
We also got around to playing some Jenga. You got your ass kicked in Jenga. And
our Jenga blocks suck, though.
But they're drunk Jenga. We didn't do the drunk Jenga because, I mean, we're just two people sitting at home. But our Jenga is blocks, uneven blocks at that.
Because
they're not even.
They're, what are they called? They're not Jenga blocks.
They're the old Toys R Us brand, whatever that is. And they have rules written on them for drinking. So there's like waterfall, social drink, girls drink, questions, you know, little man, all this stuff. So it's basically like, what is that? What's that? King's Cup, where people have like different rules or whatever. It's kind of like that where people make up different rules, but it's Jenga blocks.
Right.
And when you pick a block, that is law for everybody around until it gets back to you again and you pick another block.
Yeah,
so,
and it's just not fun when it's just the two of us.
No, No, no. It's because we would be fucking wasted. Because some of them are like, hey, give someone six second drinks. And it's like, it's you.
It's you. It's not going to be me.
And then we both have work in the morning. We're both shitty and sloshed.
Yeah, right.
No, thanks. And we also played a little bit of Uno.
Uno.
You lost. You lost at Uno.
No. It ended up being 3-3.
Oh, all right. Well, then we got to do Uno again. Because, I'm getting itchy here. There's just way too, and I've, for some reason, I spent 48 hours building one custom Lego piece.
I know, and it's the smallest little ship, and every time I walk by the room, there you are on the floor, butt crack hanging out like a freaking plumber, just
with, you know, tongue mildly hanging out as well, like
just
Homer
sitting there building this tiniest little Lego. I'm like, are you still working on that fucking ship?
Like Homer Simpson.
Alone.
No, I broke it apart and I put it away today because I was like, you're.
After all of that.
I built it. I took my pictures. I was making the Ebon Hawk from Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. So I'm currently, to keep myself sane, I decided to replay that since we did an episode on it 2 episodes ago. I was like, you know what? I'm going to play through these 2 games because guess what? I got nothing but time. I'm feeling like Andy Dufresne. Like, I just got nothing but time, except I don't have a hole in a wall past my Rita Hayworth poster.
Yeah, right. You
know, there's no light at the end of my tunnel. I don't even know when they're going to lift this quarantine. But I'm happy that I'm stuck here in this house with you, because it's not so painful. Not seeing my daughter, that's pretty painful.
Right.
But you know, at least me and you get along. You know, we haven't gotten
for the most part
nerves yet. And,
I mean, you've gotten on my nerves. You remember Tuesday night? We were watching, well, I was trying to watch my TV show and you just wanted to read me memes from the phone. I'm like, can we stop freaking little memes? I don't care right now.
I'm tired of your TV shows, man. I'm tired of your rules. I'm tired of living in this place. I'm a peacock captain. You gotta let me fly.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
All right, Lauren, we did get down to watching some new stuff this week, so let's get into what are you watching?
What are you watching?
What are we watching?
He's trying to watch some illegal channel.
Oh, ain't watching.
No, go past this part. In fact, never play this again.
All right, so some of the new stuff that we've gotten down to watching. The first thing I want to talk about is we watched Ma.
Ma. Ma. Ma. Ma. Mom. Mom! 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 Mommy! Mommy! Mama! Mama! Mama!
What?
Hi.
Which is that real terrible horror movie.
It was so bad.
It was fucking terrible.
Yes.
All I know is like she starts buying beer for kids and then they start partying. Like what you saw in the trailer
is
it. The only thing they don't show in the trailer is her motivation for doing this.
Right.
Turns out she used to just get along with one of the kids' dads in a broom closet and he did not treat her so well, you know, after that.
Right.
He didn't even give her the time of day. And all she wanted to do was hang out with the cool kids and be popular. And he didn't even do that for her.
So now she's getting back at all the parents by killing her kids.
Torturing their kids.
Right.
It's just like, okay, I don't buy that motivation. Not at all. Because at no point do they make you feel like she's an unhinged, crazy person.
Right.
They just kind of like turn the tables and are like, this bitch is crazy.
Right. I feel like if I was bullied my entire life, the first thing I would do is get out of the fucking town that I was bullied in.
But yeah, I can't, like, most of the time I'll say, like, hey, you know, it's a fun movie to watch for Saturday night.
Right.
Don't even put this movie on.
It's so bad.
We watched it on HBO, so it's definitely not worth your money, definitely not worth your time.
No.
Why do we still have HBO? I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Why do I still have HBO? We haven't watched anything on it.
I don't know.
Ballers is done. Silicon Valley's done. Obviously, Game of Thrones is done.
They're not doing any spinoffs now, right?
From what I know, I think the Targaryen spinoff is the one that's going on. House
but
of Fire.
But that's not happening anytime soon.
I mean, everything's delayed. So.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine it is. But yeah, me and Jay were talking. I was like, why do I keep it around? I know like people were like, oh, Westworld. And I was like, I couldn't get past
Westworld
season
2.
Well,
when they up our contract in a couple months, we'll just get rid of HBO at that point.
Yeah, because I have no interest in anything on there, really. I mean, Watchmen was good. I liked Watchmen. But
there's no second season of that.
I don't know if there is or not, but I'm not hungering for it either way. So, yeah. And I mean, I have other means of getting HBO shows after that. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to keep HBO around, especially when they're delivering us such gems as Ma. But me and you did watch something that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the Netflix docuseries Tiger King.
Oh, God. Everyone watched that.
I saw Tiger. Now I understand. I saw Tiger. Tiger saw me.
Because there's nothing else. But Tiger King was absolutely fucking batshit insane,
yes,
and amazing all at the same time.
And the entire time we're sitting there watching it, we're like, this motherfucker's crazy. How? Oh, nope. He did out-crazy himself now.
Yeah, he out-crazy himself.
It was just...
I've had my days of coke. I had my days of drinking. I had my days of meth.
One of the things that like really like shocks me, though, is like watching people's reactions online. And people are like, oh, my God, that guy's gay. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, that's what you're taking
that's,
away
that's
from this?
That's what you take away from that's, this.
Not that he's batshit insane or that he has 1,500 tigers that are literally herded like cattle in cages. It is what essentially is his back fucking yard. But what you're taking away from this is that he doesn't fit your social norms. He doesn't fit what you have put in your head as the cliched gay man. So therefore, he can't be gay.
You watch porn? He says, yeah. I said, well, do you enjoy the guy with the little one doing it, or do you enjoy watching the guy with the big one doing it? And he says, well, obviously you want to watch the guy with the big one. I said, well, you ain't that straight.
Right? Yeah. I mean, this guy's gay. It's like, yeah, I mean, who cares? But he's fucking hoarding tigers. Yeah. Possibly killing them.
No, I think
they confirm
that he did shoot a few tigers.
He called it euthanasia.
Well, he said, yeah, exactly.
But putting chemicals.
Better than
the chemicals would have cost a lot of money, but a bullet is about 5 cents.
Better than the other guy who was like killing them as cubs still, who was like, nope. People can't care about them
once
anymore.
You can't pet them anymore. He was euthanized. I mean,
right.
So while it does follow Joe Exotic, which. Don't do this. I did this. Don't fall down the rabbit hole of his YouTube because it's amazing. It's so amazing.
I'm sure.
It's fucking worth it.
Did you get to listen to all his records and everything, his hits?
There's literally thousands of hours of Joe Exotic on YouTube.
Oh, I'm sure.
And almost all of it is solid gold.
He used to film everything he did. He filmed everything.
Most of it was solid gold. I got to tell you, like, if you had nothing else to do, I mean, why not? You'll definitely get some laughs. Do it while drinking.
Yeah, right.
I was taking a break from my video game and I was just like, and I wound up 2 hours just evaporated watching Joe Exotic here in the office. I was like, that's...
Was there a lot of him talking about killing that woman?
Yep.
Killing Carol Baskin?
A lot of videos about him talking about a lot of different things, but Carol Baskin does come up quite a bit.
She wanted to shut down a zoo and he wanted her gone.
You're an animal rights person and you try and come into this facility, this is what you're going to be greeted with.
But his music is on there. Just some of his like just him like walking around like talking to people, barking orders, and just some of the shit that comes out of his mouth is so fucking outlandish.
So 2 hours ago, New York Post posted an article about Tiger King star Joe Exotic files $94 million lawsuit, wants presidential pardon. He'll get it, I bet.
I don't think so. He was a libertarian. If he was,
oh, that's right, yeah.
If he was a Republican with
Trump
lots of money,
hates the gays.
Yeah, if he was a Republican with lots of money, he would 100% get his pardon.
But he said libertarian, I guess, because that's all he could run for. I don't know.
Yeah, because he can't run on a major ticket. Get the fuck out of here. You insane? You think the Democrats or Republicans are going to back his crazy ass?
Yeah, right.
Fuck no. So, I mean, if you're wondering, if you've been under a rock or you haven't been checking your social media, you don't know what the fuck Tiger King is. It is about Joe Exotic. He runs a wild animal park, and I say that with the biggest like rabbit ear quotation marks.
Right.
He breeds tigers, and it really shines a light on how this type of stuff is just not regulated in our country. And it's not federally regulated enough. And on the state level, many states don't regulate exotic animal breeding whatsoever. But it doesn't just follow the crazy antics of Joe Exotic. While Joe Exotic is definitely the spotlight of it, it does follow other individuals who are in this line of quote-unquote work.
Right.
You know, and one of them I've actually been to, Doc Antel's in Myrtle Beach.
In Myrtle Beach,
I actually went to his facility.
And you didn't know that it was...
Didn't know any of this.
You didn't know that it was this...
Right. But just like me as a hapless, you know, young lad walking around SeaWorld, just being like, cool, whales, oh, I love this stuff. You know, and then being an adult and being like, wow, what a fucking, you know, blood industry this is.
Well, you thought you were going to like the sanctuary place where they...
That's how they sell themselves.
Where they take these animals in. Maybe they were injured at one point. Maybe they were abused at one point.
No, it's not that. They call them animal ambassadors, like they do.
Okay.
I mean, it's like they stole everything out of SeaWorld's playbook. Like, animal ambassadors. All the money we make goes right back into... You know, we give to the... We're sponsored by the World Wildlife Fund, which Doc Antel's was at some point. Sponsored by the World Wildlife Fund.
Right.
So it's not like he's out there, you know, saying this stuff without backing for it. He's got the backing, but the whole industry is just so fucked that there's no regulation on it. He could do whatever the fuck he wants. Apparently, you know, breed tigers and the way they sell it when you're there is like, the reason we're breeding tigers, the reason we're doing this is because the black tiger has gone extinct and we have several that have the recessive gene that can bring black tigers back and blah blah blah. I looked it up. You know, after watching, black tigers were never a thing. It's like a white tiger. It's the same exact thing.
Right.
Where it's just a genetic anomaly. It wasn't anything that occurred in the wild or anything like that. But the way they're selling it is, when I was there, and I was like, this is fucking ridiculous.
And who would have known that he had miles of property?
So
for his houses for his wives.
His
stuff.
Wives.
This, wives.
This dude is a fucking tiger Mormon. he's just out there. I mean, like old Mormons back in the day, not new Mormons.
But even Joe Exotic, he had two husbands at one point. Right.
So apparently, and then the other guy was a swinger. The guy who comes in later on, he's a swinger. So it's like, if you are really into tigers, you're a tiger breeder, you run wild animal parks, you also are just polyamorous. It just comes with the territory.
Except if you're Carol Baskin, because she had the husband that she, quote unquote,
that bitch crazy
killed.
Too.
Oh, she totally killed that guy.
Oh my God, yeah. I don't know. It's all circumstantial evidence. And when I sit there and I watch it, he had just as many reasons to leave as she had to kill him.
Right.
So I'm 50-50. Let her stay out of jail. Who cares?
Oh no, I think she deserves it as much as the other. I mean, you saw the cages that keeps her tigers in. The only difference with her and them is she doesn't let people pet her tigers.
Yeah.
And she doesn't pay her employees to work there. It's all volunteers. Suckers.
Fucking brilliant. So, look, if you're looking for a wacky game show.
Ladies and gentlemen, before you hear it on the news, I'm going to tell you myself. About an hour ago, we had an incident where one of the employees stuck their arm through the cage and a tiger tore her arm off.
This is it.
Watch it. I mean, I think we sunk an entire Sunday into watching this whole series. Yeah. And it's absolutely worth all, what is it? 7 hours, 8 hours.
Yeah.
It's worth all that time.
It's
worth all that time. It's got a great payoff at the end. We won't tell you what happens, but
a lot of people think tigers took my legs. No, it actually happened from a zip line accident.
Definitely can't recommend it enough. All right, that's gonna do it for what we're watching. Lauren, let's get into some news. Let's get into some news for this week. I'm going to start off with one of my favorite pieces of news. Mandalorian Season 2 has cast a veteran actor to appear in Season 2. None other than Kyle Reese himself, Hicks from Aliens, Michael Biehn, has been cast in Mandalorian Season 2. I know everyone else was expecting me to announce somebody else and do a news story about that, but I'm actually really excited. Michael Biehn is a fantastic get for this series. He fits right along in with Carl Weathers, who's aging action star and stuff like that. Michael Biehn, huge in the action realm, obviously working with James Cameron so many times, recognizable face. I imagine he's going to be another member of the Bounty Hunter Guild, but I have another theory that maybe just maybe, he might be a Death Watch member.
Okay.
So, and we saw in season one that Din Djarin, sorry, right. That's a spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen Mandalorian season one, but that's the Mandalorian's name, Din Djarin, that he was possibly, you know, rescued, that he was rescued by the Death Watch during the Clone Wars. And I get the feeling like maybe he will show up in flashbacks, or he will be someone that has something to do with the Mandalorian's past, and we'll see, but I think just having him be another member of the Mandalore of the Bounty Hunters Guild, you know, would be just a little too boring and a little bit too easy of a mark, being as Carl Weathers is already, you know, playing that type of character.
Right.
So I can't wait to see who he's playing. I'm not sure if anything's been announced. I'm sure you can go look in your Reddits and on your YouTubes and stuff and find all the theories about who he's playing and give me a character name and all that stuff. It doesn't matter who he's playing. It's fucking Aliens Michael Biehn.
I'd like to keep this handy for close encounters.
I heard that.
That's what matters. Next news story. All right, this one also has me extremely excited, because for the first time, we're going to see this character in live action. Rosario Dawson has also been cast in Mandalorian Season 2, and she is playing none other than the Dave Filoni-created character Ahsoka Tano.
You're stuck with me, Sky Guy.
What did you just call me?
Who?
Very excited for this.
I'm extremely excited for it, but there's Star Wars fans out there who hear this news and go, huh?
Right, yeah.
What?
Yeah, if you don't watch the cartoon,
right.
You have no idea.
You yell Barracuda, everyone goes, huh? What?
You're in
shock. We got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July. And that's the way I feel. Like there's people who are like going absolutely nuts, because this character has had one of my favorite like arcs of the way people like feel about characters. I'm not even talking about like her arc in the story. Like that alone is amazing.
Right.
But the way people felt about this character versus how they feel about her now, Star Wars fans, they fucking hated her. They absolutely hated her. She appeared in the god-awful Clone Wars, you know, movie, which was the first three episodes of the Clone Wars series put together in a 90-minute movie that was released to the theater. Me and my good friend Kenny, we went to go see that. Kenny was very trepidatious. He's like, I don't know about this. He's like, I don't think this is going to be very good and stuff. And I was like, what are you talking about? Star Wars. It's going to be fucking amazing. You shut your mouth. And then we walked out and he goes, so what'd you think? And I was like, what the fuck did I just fucking watch?
Right.
And the worst part of that was Ahsoka Tano was like this very youngish kid character who has like nicknames for Anakin Skywalker. She calls him Sky Guy and all this stuff. And it's just fucking annoying. And it felt like, at the time, it felt like I was watching Star Wars through like a Disney filter. Little do I know that like 4 years later, that's exactly what I would be getting. But it felt like a ABC morning cartoon that was being made for the lowest common denominator. But as that show went on, I decided, you know, it's still Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an avid enough fan that I'm going to jump in and I'm going to watch all of the Clone Wars as it comes out. And I did. And I was very surprised. The character grew. The story's aged with its audience. And one of the most interesting characters with one of the most interesting arcs was Ahsoka Tano.
Right.
She goes on to Star Wars Rebels, same showrunner, Dave Filoni. And she has a very interesting arc there, but it's not fully fleshed out. And by the time Rebels ends, she's going off into the Outer Rim with another character, Sabine Wren, who is a Mandalorian.
Right.
And we don't know what happens to them after that. And that is at the end of, and that takes place after the Battle of Endor, which means it's after Return of the Jedi. Now she's going to show up here in the Mandalorian post Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Post her appearance in Rebels. And we have no clue what she's going to be up to. But the thing that has me really excited is Dave Filoni did Clone Wars and created the character. Dave Filoni did Rebels and kept the character alive there. And ever since then, people have been wondering whether she's dead or not. Because in The Rise of Skywalker, you hear her voice. Ashley Eckstein does her voice. And she was one of the people talking to Rey, telling Rey to get up.
Right.
And everyone assumed that meant she was dead. And Dave Filoni pretty much jokingly said to everyone, what's dad? Dad's not dead. Maybe she's using the Force to talk to somebody. Maybe she's not dead. Maybe she's still out there.
You know, right.
He's out there damage controlling it because this announcement was coming.
And come on, with the Force, there's no real rules.
Right.
Right?
I mean, the entire Disney trilogy has showed you that there's no fucking rules. Whatever rules you had and held sacred, forget them. They're gone. and that's not me throwing too much shade at the Disney. I just like to, you know, call it for what it is.
It's and now fun. she's Logan's favorite character too, right?
Logan loves her and Hera Syndulla.
Right. And I mean, she loved Baby Yoda, so this will keep her
right
watching.
Absolutely.
That's all she wanted to do was watch Mandalorian for Baby Yoda.
And it's very exciting because, like, Rosario Dawson, obviously a fantastic actress.
Absolutely.
You know, having this character who I love as well, it seems like two great things being put together. It's like chocolate and peanut butter.
I wouldn't compare it to chocolate and peanut butter.
I know. But you're the only person in the world who doesn't like chocolate and peanut butter. I love chocolate and peanut butter. I think it goes well together. I can't wait to see what they have in store for it. I don't think that she's going to be playing a large part in the series at all, though. I think that it's probably going to be regulated to one episode.
Yeah, maybe.
She'll be showing up in. But I don't think you hire a Rosario Dawson to play your character without ideas in mind.
Right, right.
And Dave Filoni, he was the guy who was kind of handpicked by George Lucas before the sale to Disney to basically take over Star Wars for him when it was done. And his career was really up in the air when he was in the middle of Clone Wars and Disney purchased it. They canceled Clone Wars, which is now back, by the way. You can actually finish up on Ahsoka's story right now on Disney Plus. The first episode just came out. I love it. I would love to do a spoiler cast for it, but that's just doing a little bit too much for one character. But so you know, he got brought back into the fold now, and Rebels, which was under Disney banner, he got to do, and now he is an executive producer and basically one of the head writers on The Mandalorian. So I think he hired Rosario Dawson because there's more in store for us to come with Ahsoka Tano, possibly showing up in the Obi-Wan series, possibly maybe even getting her own live action series of her own. There's a whole lot more that you can digest or you can extrapolate from this little bit of news, but we don't got time on this podcast to do it all, so let's get into our next news story. All right, Lauren, they are looking to cast the next Furiosa.
Oh.
So apparently, Mad Max Fury Road is going to be getting its spinoff, Furiosa. Okay. It will be coming to theaters. No, it's in very pre-production right now.
Right.
But it will be a prequel story. It will not continue the journey of Furiosa
Are looking at a younger?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And they are looking to cast Anya Taylor-Joy as the role of Furiosa when she was young. Now, Anya Taylor-Joy, you might remember her from Split. She was the girl that was kidnapped.
Oh, okay, okay.
And held prisoner.
I like her.
Right? And then she's also in the movie, which has just been delayed for the fourth time, New Mutants. She plays the sister of Colossus. Her name's Magic in that. So she's been a rising star for quite some time. And I think if this is a George Miller directed film, I think she fits right in with that type of world. So I look forward to that. Look forward to watching this news develop. This, as of right now, is just a rumor, though. But
okay.
That kind of has me a little bit excited because I feel like she has acting chops that are similar to that.
Oh, absolutely.
Charlize Theron. I would love to see Charlize Theron back. Something tells me they might bookend the story with how popular she is and how popular she was in that movie. They might bookend the story with her. So let's get into our next news story. All right, this is one that I'm throwing in here just for people like me and Duty, who are both movie lovers, but video game fans as well. The character of Ash from Evil Dead is rumored to be appearing in Mortal Kombat 11. So Mortal Kombat 11 came out about 6-7 months ago, maybe even a year ago, and it was always rumored that Ash was going to be making an appearance in the game. Now there's apparently some leaked emails that are confirming that an Ash DLC is coming. I own Mortal Kombat. I love Ash. It's just two great things that I'm just going to have to marry. Because nothing...
Does he come equipped with the chainsaw
of
hand?
Of course he does. Because in all Mortal Kombat, you can switch to weapons mode now.
Oh, so okay.
You can put on the chainsaw hand, and if they don't give me the soundbite of groovy...
Yeah,
when
right.
he puts it on, what the fuck is wrong with the world?
Or maybe that's his finisher. What, he like chop someone's head off?
Hail to the king, yeah. baby. or you know, I don't see Ash, if he's fighting a woman, I don't see him finishing her off. I see him like dipping her and giving her a kiss and going, give me some sugar, baby. Next news story. All right, fans of Zack Snyder and of the former DC universe, which is now extinct, have celebrated the fourth anniversary of the Zack Snyder film Batman v Superman. So everyone who is out there touting their flags, hoping for the Snyder Cut to come out of Justice League someday, they all celebrated the fourth birthday
really?
Of Batman v Superman.
How sad.
This movie has a huge following online. It's a very vocal minority, but I will say this. I am someone who does enjoy this movie, not the theatrical cut, the extended cut, the one that actually makes sense, that fills in all the plot holes that made you go, wait, what's happening? I understand you haven't watched that cut because it's close to 3.5 hours, and that's a lot. That's a lot. But I actually enjoy that cut quite a bit.
And I mean, come on, that movie didn't make me... No. It didn't wow me enough to want to watch it again.
No. I might give it a watch because just seeing people's excitement for it just kind of makes me a little bit more excited. I never want to hate on anything just because, you know, I didn't like it the first time out. There's plenty of movies I didn't like the first time out that I like now. You know,
I didn't say I hate it. I just said it just didn't make me want to go back and watch it.
I think everyone should
just... It was boring. It was a boring-ass movie.
I think everyone should just take some time this week and maybe... Maybe watch some Batman v Superman. I think it's worth it. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Next news story. All right. James Gunn has posted on social media that he's running out of toilet paper, Lauren. He's almost out. And he has some toilet paper that he is going to be using. he had a bunch of toilet paper made up with Michael Rooker's face on it that says Rooker. He made it up as a joke to his friend, but now that he's out of actual toilet paper, he's decided he's going to wipe his ass with his good friend's face.
Is he cool?
Hell yeah, he's cool.
I'm very popping, y'all!
Well, I mean, let him know that we have toilet paper. Can send him a couple.
You
want to
send him? Yeah. Yeah. So when we were running out of toilet paper, I know I mentioned last week that me and Jay had itchy buttholes because we were down to like towards the end of our toilet paper run. We had 3 rolls left, but Lauren went on Amazon and found industrial toilet paper. Practically sandpaper on a roll, but the job gets done.
It is literally the toilet paper that you get if you walk into any like bathroom at a Walmart, at a Target. It's those ginormous
at a seedy gas station where there's both blood, shit, and semen stains on the wall.
Right. Yeah. So it's we have a bunch of that.
Yeah. It's
and then your parents were
guaranteed
nice,
to rupture a hemorrhoid.
And your parents were nice enough to find some toilet paper for us.
Yes, my parents did bring us some soft toilet paper.
Yes, they did.
Some Charmin, some Bear toilet paper. But the toilet paper that you got off Amazon, it's if you don't have hemorrhoids, you're gonna get it just by using
probably.
But we've sent some of that out to some friends who were desperate. So.
Hey, but know what? We have it just in case because as of today, stores around it still do not have toilet paper.
It's a thing, man. It's a thing.
It is a thing.
Next news story. All right, this one I really like. David Fincher, one of the most famous directors. He's a highly regarded director, one that me and Jay love oh so much.
Right.
He surprised a bunch of film students by basically becoming their guest professor.
Oh, that's cool.
Remotely for 450 film students' master's class.
Nice.
So he showed up, and I love that. I love that. Like everyone obviously has some free time right now.
Right.
And he's taking the time to give back what you wouldn't give to just pick his brain a little bit. Like it kind of reminds me of like we talked about how unfortunately James Lipton passed a few weeks ago. He used to do Inside the Actor's Studio.
Mm-hmm.
That was live actors being interviewed in front of acting students who then got to ask questions and stuff. So I imagine this is very much the same way for them. And I would love to be taught by David Fincher for just like, 15, 20 minutes, whatever time he was willing to give. I love that. Next news story. All right, this news story I don't love. This one actually makes me quite sad. AMC Theaters puts all of their employees on furlough.
Yeah, it sucks.
It does suck, but you've really got to understand it. With no movies coming out, what the fuck are they?
What are they doing? Right.
You can't pay people. I understand it. Like, you know, it's tough. You and I are fortunate enough to work in not even an industry, but just have two companies that are willing to
telecommute. Yeah.
Telecommute, work from home, and still make full benefits, pay.
And even the people in my company who don't have the option to telecommute, they're all still getting paid. They're not being forced to give up their PTO or sick time. Right. So it's nice that we, you know, that I work for a company like that. So that's great. Right.
You and I are extremely fortunate.
But unfortunately, there's, I think at this point, like 3 million, I think they said, that filed for unemployment.
Yeah. It's a lot.
And it sucks.
In our own state, we're reaching over 100,000 just in our state alone, when this time last year, the number was between 12 and 15,000 at this time.
Right.
It's a lot. And, you know, like I said, it's tough for me to fault these companies for it when they have no revenue coming in.
Right.
Because it's either that or shut down forever. Furlough, they're not getting paid during this.
Yeah.
Their jobs are secure.
Right.
According to AMC, their jobs will come back once everything opens up, but as of right now, they're kind of stuck.
Yeah, and I mean they're in an industry where they can't do something else to make money, like how a lot of restaurants, especially local restaurants around us, even though they're not doing but a lot of these restaurants near us, they're doing curbside pickup, delivery, local deliveries, and all the money is going straight to their employees so that they can still pay their employees.
It's sad, but honestly, our hearts go out to anybody who is being affected by this, who doesn't currently, you know, have an income coming in. You know, I can't imagine what you're going through, and I just hope that you get through this. And if you need the help, you're reaching out to your support system. All right, next news story. All right, this is another one that warms my heart a little bit. J.K. Rowling has lifted the licensing agreement on Harry Potter. She now is allowing for a limited time an open license for her product. Teachers are going to be allowed to read.
Yes.
And parents read the Harry Potter books, record it for either kids or other people to watch and listen to. So pretty much like an audiobook and stuff like that. And I like that. Obviously, this lady is a bajillionaire.
Yeah.
She's made her money on Harry Potter and she continues to make her money. But she is allowing people the time to basically enjoy her work.
Yep.
For free for a certain amount of time. But what I like is the interactive nature of it, that teachers and parents are being allowed to read it for other people online and give it to people who may not have otherwise had the chance to enjoy it. All right, this is our final news story. This one has me a little pissed off because while I am stuck inside and there's no movie theaters open here, we just talked about employees being furloughed, China is going to be opening their theaters again.
Yep.
Even though they went through quarantine, saw a reduction in the numbers of cases.
So they opened up prematurely, and now they're going through another wave of the virus.
Of the virus. Yep. And their theaters are going to open anyway.
By the way, that's never going to heal if you don't stop picking.
And they're going to be showing Avengers and Avatar and other such big tentpole blockbusters from the past in their theaters to try to make up some money. Now, look, I understand the feel and the need to make money, especially in an industry like China, who has a very budding theater and film industry behind it. But at the same time,
Is it worth it? Is it worth the lives that you may, you know, you're getting people sick, just like, I mean, even in our country. Ugh, Trump thinks that we're going to all reopen by Easter.
Hey, we keep politics out of this show, man.
I know. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that he thinks that we're going to open up by Easter and everything's going to be good. But we haven't seen a decline in numbers. If anything, we're seeing an increase.
We're seeing an increase because people aren't practicing social distancing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we've also gotten more people tested and everything, but even still, we're seeing increases, not decreases. So why do you think that would work? But
awesome. All right. That does it for our news this week. Lauren, we got a review for Guns Akibo. Let's head over and let's get into that.
All right.
So bored on Saturday night, me and Lauren decided to go through our video on demand service. We use Vudu mostly to rent our movies, and we came across Guns Akibo. So that's what we wound up renting, because I remember seeing the trailer and being like, you know what? All right.
I think you told me you were like, Daniel Radcliffe is in it. I'm like, just put it on. Yeah, it's got Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, well, what's the worst that happens? You know, so we rented it. We gave them our hard-earned $6.99 for an HD rental.
Hey, I'm Miles.
Watch it, asshole.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a hero. But instead, I grew up to be a nobody.
Another schism.
Schism picked random weirdos and made them fight to the death. And the internet loved it.
Look, this is gonna sound really fucking weird, but can you help me? I have guns bolted to my hands.
Yeah, you're right. That does sound pretty fucking weird.
You have 24 hours to kill Nix. Fail, you die. Leave the city, you die.
Who the fuck is Nix?
It's showtime.
These guys came to my house last night. They're making me fight. But I have a plan.
Go on.
You can stop trying to kill me.
And kill Schism. You in?
No.
I wouldn't do that if I was you. You'll just end up blowing your damn face off. Then you'll still be depressed. Even more depressed, probably, because of your fucked up face.
So I wrote up a synopsis for it, and it goes like this. Harry Potter has become an internet troll in his later years, dispensing cliched verbal justice over the wizarding wide web until one day he wakes up as a rejected Overwatch character with guns bolted to his hands. He then must flee and fight in a series of mini-boss battles until he has a final showdown with Deadpool's overly tattooed over-the-hill stunt double in this bloody, stylized but fun movie that is one part John Wick, one part Scott Pilgrim with a dash of Crank, but it just can't live up to any of them. And that's kind of the way I felt when I was watching it. There's this. So I actually liked the premise. When this movie first started and he was introducing the world and stuff like that, I liked the world. I liked when he was like doing the crosswalk and they're throwing up the video game stuff. Like he gets bumped into while walking across the crosswalk and all the Sonic rings fall on the ground.
Right.
It's like, all right. So that made me think of Scott Pilgrim, and it's got these video game noises in its, you know, going through its sound design and stuff like that. And I
even
enjoyed
like
that.
the cameras, how it turns sometimes, like you're going in circles and everything.
Some of the camera work was a little much.
Yeah.
There's a point where he's in his apartment and they do like this complete like flip 360 thing while his character is standing completely still, that I was like, that was so unnecessary. But one of the things that I really like is that he's a nerd, right? So he's something that like I can relate to. And one of my favorite things is like while his apartment's getting shot up, he's just like, can you just like try to avoid the expensive stuff?
Yeah.
I love that because like I can relate to that and stuff. But ultimately, this movie was pretty poorly written, is what it comes down to. There's a moment like towards the transition from the second act to the third act where there's a big plot shift and there's going to be a twist. But there is nothing given to allow you to know that there's that twist has happened, right? They just kind of drop it on you.
Yeah.
That this has happened. But because our character is shot and presumed dead towards the end of the second act, you know that that's not the case. So you know the twist is coming.
Right.
And then they kind of shoehorn it in with like a series of flashbacks, quick cuts for 2 minutes to kind of explain how they got to, completely unnecessary, unneeded. And they really just could have let those scenes play out as they did, and we still would have gotten the same fantastic, bloody, gory action that we got. I mean, I thought the action in this movie was actually pretty well done. Especially
no, I really enjoyed
play.
It. Even with like the little, you know, extra scenes they added in there and the
flair. We'll call it flair.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun movie. It's a fun movie.
How many pieces of flair are you wearing, Lauren? Because you need 8 pieces of flair minimum just to record this podcast.
I don't know. Four, maybe?
It's Office Space. Calm down. I'm just just quoting Office Space. But anyway, one of my favorite like little things is when he meets the homeless guy.
Yes.
The homeless guy is one of my favorite parts of the movie. So there's like these moments that are wonderful that really bring you into the movie and really make you want to root for it. And you want to root for Daniel Radcliffe's character and stuff. And then there's moments where everything just falls out from underneath of it. I don't care that it's unbelievable because they already set me up for this to be an unbelievable world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's fine. But what really bothers me is when the plot ceases to make sense any longer. And it just expects you that they've set up this wacky, crazy world. So just go with it, huh?
Right, right, right.
But really, I can't. For the whole runtime, I can't. It's just there's just too much going on.
I didn't mind it. It is what it is. I thought it was a fun movie and it kept me awake.
The dialogue in the third act really bothers me, especially especially coming from, I believe it's Nyx.
Nyx, the girl, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coming from Nyx, towards the end, like, she just becomes a spouting cliche of badass girldom,
But no, she was like that the entire time, though. No. She was like this ruthless, like, not very girly girl. Like, I loved it.
But the whole point was that they kind of showed us the chinks in her armor, but they never allowed her to develop past what she was introduced as. You know, she stayed as that character the entire time. Despite having major character developments come out about her, she was not changed by her journey at all. And neither was Daniel Radcliffe's character either. The only thing was he was a pussy in the beginning and he was willing to fight in the end. Like, and that's it. But it's so basic. It's so on the surface. Everything about this movie is flash, it's flair, it's fantastical fun, and you can have that with it, but there's zero substance. And it's not like I was looking for substance or anything right. like that. It's not like that's what I was craving when I watched this movie. But when we watched Upgrade, this is what I expected Upgrade to be, and then Upgrade blew my expectations away completely. This, on the other hand, gave me exactly what I thought I was going to get, if not even less so than what I thought. And that's my big problem with it, is that it just, there is no hype for it, so you can't say that it didn't live up to the hype. It just, in its own nature, just in the way that this movie is, the way that it's portrayed to you, it feels very hyped from the beginning. Like, this is gonna be some awesome shit.
I thought it was, though.
Oh no. I enjoyed myself, don't get me wrong. I had moments where I truly
me and
loved
you
it.
We also look at movies differently,
completely differently.
Yes,
right. So while I find tons of moments to really enjoy about it, in the end I was just like, all right. I mean, it was a fun way to spend 90 minutes. But if we spent, for you and I to go to the theaters, it's close to $32 or so for you and I to go together.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been much more upset. But I think $7 sitting here in our own home is just
fun. It was
fun.
Worth it, yeah.
So real quick, there's no sense in going through any of the acting or anything like that, because it's not like
it's
any
not
of that,
really an
it's not that
acting kind of movie.
but really, all you need to know is that it's Daniel Radcliffe and Samara Weaving in the two main roles, and then you also have Rhys Darby who plays the homeless man, who is just absolutely one of my favorite parts of the film. I can't stress that enough. That, like, you might even just watch the movie for those scenes.
Right, 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 right.
But Lauren, we got to give it a score. What's your score for Guns Akibo?
I will give it a B-.
All right, that's not too far off where I am.
Okay,
I'm probably about a C.
Okay.
Or a C+, but right. Leaning more towards C+, but I'm going to keep it a C. I don't want to give this movie too much credit. I'm about a C on it. There's stuff to enjoy there, but really it's fine.
My whole thing is
you're going to squeak by with,
if you
with
like
your
Daniel
grade.
Radcliffe.
I don't particularly.
See, I do, and if you like a good just nonstop action movie, this is for
See,
you.
I like,
and bloody
I,
and bloody
it
movie
is bloody.
At that.
I like Samara Weaving actually more than Daniel Radcliffe, but they gave her nothing to do here.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, because I know there's a lot of people out there who don't like, I guess, girls being very vulgar. And
they don't listen to this show. And if you're, and if you have a problem with vulgarity, then they don't listen to this show.
Okay.
Either. Everyone then who's listening
good.
To us now,
you're good.
Who's
watch,
on
watch
board,
the movie.
They're fine. They're fine. But this definitely, like, if Jay watched this, he would be like, no. Like, this is fucking terrible. Like,
right,
this is
right,
not
right.
Jay's movie. It's more up our alley and stuff.
Right, right. And I mean, they uglied her up.
Oh, definitely.
Like, they uglied her up.
Especially
towards
the end when she's spitting
teeth
out.
It's not even like that he gets to watch, like, a hot girl, like, shooting shit and, you know, getting her fingers chopped off or whatever.
There's no sense in doing a spoiler cast for this. We're not going to bother, like, doing spoilers and stuff for it.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it to people?
I would.
I recommend it to people in the quarantine. Outside, like, if we weren't in quarantine right now, I would definitely tell everybody to wait for it to be free somewhere.
Oh, no. Yeah, I would say, like, if you can find it free, watch it free.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was $7. Who cares? $7 isn't killing us, you know?
Poor Daniel Radcliffe. Like, he's just,
what do you mean, poor Daniel Radcliffe?
He's going to live the life of Mark Hamill. He's never going to... I mean, don't get me wrong. For people like me, people in the know, Mark
Hamill...
Oh, he's
Mark always Hamill, he's always going to be Harry Potter.
Be Harry Potter.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. No,
right.
But, I mean, it's...
But at least
some of the best movie making out there.
But at least Mark Hamill's made a career out of being Mark Hamill, number one. And number two, he found the Joker. He found voice acting.
Yeah.
He did something. I'm not sure if Daniel Radcliffe can rap. We know that. We've seen him on... That's one of my favorite things. You can go watch him. I believe it's on Conan O'Brien or on Jimmy
well,
Fallon.
Well, doesn't he do a lot of stage shows now?
He does also.
Right.
He does also do stage acting, which is... I mean, it's big here in New York. It's big here in the
right.
States. But it's even bigger. Being
right.
a stage actor is... It's more prestigious,
right, right, right,
in the UK,
right, right,
than screen acting. You know, you
and I watch Graham Norton clips of him all the time. He's hilarious.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, you've been watching Graham Norton for like the past like you've been watching Graham Norton clips for like the past like three.
They're funny.
3 weeks, I guess. Graham Norton's very.
Since I've
funny.
Been home.
Don't you wish that we had like late night talk shows like that? I mean, our late night talk shows are okay, but
his are so
his
much
are
better.
Fantastic. So that's going to do it for Super Movie Brothers this week. Look, I want to thank all you guys for sticking with us. I know that, you know, given that we're not going out to the theaters, there's not a whole lot for us to do. We're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for content here. But one thing's for sure. I want to thank Lauren for being here because she's not a bottom of the barrel type bitch. You know, she's... She's A class. She's number one. People like hearing you on here. I get it.
Good,
I get
I'm glad.
Every episode you're on, people are always like, oh.
And people were impressed today at work when we were just kind of chatting. They're like, what are you guys doing tonight? And I'm like, recording a podcast with my husband. And they're like, what? That's so cool. I've heard of podcasts, but I don't know people who actually do it.
Well,
like,
if more people did, maybe Super Movie Brothers would be
yeah,
more popular.
Right.
But one thing's for sure, and I learned this at my work. Don't tell people about the podcast.
Oh, no, I don't give them your podcast name. That's terrible.
Because once they hear it, they go, who the fuck is this trash mouth monkey?
Yeah.
Fucking-
You gotta go.
Yeah. So, like, I remember I told one person at work who is now my senior manager. Like, he oversees our entire region pretty much. He knows about the podcast, and I know he's listened. And I was like, never judge me.
Yeah, right.
Never judge my work, who I am at work, based off of who I am on this show. He's like, oh, I never would. And he's like, it's funny. And he's like, but he's like, I don't think I can ever tell anybody that I even listen because, like, that's going to pose questions and they're going to listen to it and that's going to infer something about
right,
me.
Right,
and I was
right.
like, how do you think I feel now knowing that you listen to it?
Right.
So I decided from then on, I'll never tell anybody at work about this ever because, you know, I'll tell them I have a podcast, but I'll never tell them the name.
Right, right, right.
It's just better off being anonymous for sure.
And so, I can't have people know that I'm married to someone like you. So
that's very true. Like, if people listen to this, it's like, did he just call her a bottom of the barrel bitch? What the fuck is that?
It's like, well, you said I wasn't one.
I said you weren't one. That's true. So then that's going to make them wonder whether they are bottom of the barrel
yeah.
bitches. The answer is yes. The answer is yes, because they're not you. So thank all you guys for listening. I'm not very active on the social media right now, I'll be honest with you, but
on the social media, like, you're 90 years old.
I know. But I'm not very active.
I'm not active on the Facebook. Do you have the Facebook?
Jay has the Facebook.
He
runs
Facebook.
That over there. That is Super Movie Bros Podcast. I run the Twitter, Super Movie Pod on there. So you can reach out to me on there. You can comment on this episode, or you can reach out to us if you just want to bullshit. Like, I don't care. You can do that. We have a hotline number. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But it's part of episode 200. So I guess you can go look at the description there, find the hotline number, give it a call. Why not? I haven't updated the voicemail. It still says, "Hey, you're calling the Super Movie Bros episode 200 hotline." I'm about to update it and make it, but no one's called it. I haven't gotten a voicemail on that. So what's the point? I mean, if you guys wanted to call it more, maybe I'd put more work into it, but no, whatever. There's a new Patreon episode out this week. Me and Jay recorded our movie cocktail for Dread, which is Judge Dread. And Dread from 2013, you know, the good one with Carl Urban.
Yeah.
We recorded a movie cocktail for both of those movies. We have a lot of fun at one movie's expense, and we pretty much just full on pull the pants down and deep throat another movie.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, we love Dread a lot. Like the 2012 Dread is
the newer
amazing.
One. Yeah, the newer amazing. One I love.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would totally let that movie brick in my mouth.
Would I ever sit there and watch Sly? No.
Well, I mean, that one's nostalgic and fun, but we get into that. So if you want to check that episode out, you got to be part of our Patreon. That is patreon.com/supermoviebrospodcast. Check it out over there. You can get that episode and all of our other episodes over there for just $1 a month. I want to thank all of you for listening. Have a great one. Cheers.
The world has caught a virus, so I've written you a poem. We need your help to cure it, so stay the fuck at home. And if you have got 12 kids or you're living on your own, lock it down and isolate and stay the fuck at home. If you think you're not at risk here, you're living in a dome. It spreads faster than a hooker's leg, so stay the fuck at home. I need the gym, I need the beach, I hear you bitch and moan. You need to grow a brain cell and stay the fuck at home. But I feel fine, I don't feel sick. I'll go out on my own. How thick are you, you selfish prick? Please just stay the fuck at home. From LA through to Berlin, from Wuhan through to Rome, there's people dying every day, so stay the fuck at home. If you need to contact family, use Facebook, Skype, or phone. We've got the fucking internet, so stay the fuck at home. The only way to slow it down is isolate, not roam. Please help the world get back on track and stay the fuck at home. Stay the fuck at home, stay the fuck at home. Don't you be a fucking dick, please stay the fuck at home. Stay the fuck at home.